At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app. Fubo, Slingin', Game Plus. How you doing? How was your weekend? Betting wise and otherwise. Jason Kahn is here as well. How you doing, Jason? Good?
Good. Good morning, Gil.
Guessing lines today. Guessing lines in the National Football League for week number 7. Wow, we're moving along. Plus, we'll talk about baseball, the Dodgers game last night. Interesting non-pitching move that wasn't mentioned during the broadcast last night. I'm curious what people think about that. Lomachenko and Lopez, talk about the judging there. But let us talk week 7 of the National Football League. And as always, for those who are just landing on this show for the first time on Mondays during football season, you're like, what's this guessing line stuff? I'm in a cocoon since yesterday. This is a tribute to the old Stardust radio show that Roxy Roxborough was involved in back in the day. Chrissy Andrews comes on, tells me after my guess what the line is that he's going to post right after the show at the South Point Hotel Casino. And hopefully within that exercise, we find ourselves, we extract some value, I should say, from the exercise itself. Let us bring in the star of the show. He is the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook Director, my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews. Good morning, Chris.
What's going on, pal?
It's leafing through pages. What are you doing over there?
No, I'm getting my notes where they should be.
Yeah, I like it. I like show prep. Thanks for the show prep.
Okay.
Let's start with, let me just real quick, Survivor over at Circa, Jason, 409 people submitted. Supposed to be 410, but I think somebody forgot again. 409, 56 went out yesterday, 51 of which were with the Patriots. So we are down to, by my count, 351, with the Dolphins and Colts being the big winners yesterday for survivors. Colts obviously put a scare into people. But so 351 left heading into tonight. I don't think anybody, there's one person who has the Chiefs tonight, but that's about it. Chrissy, how was your weekend as a book here at the South Point?
It was pretty incredible. yeah, we're talking like Super Bowl type wins.
You guys,
for Sunday, and Saturday was great too.
You pretty much won on everything. What was your biggest winner?
Our biggest winner? Oh, yeah. It had to be the Green Bay Tampa game last night. Yeah, that was the biggest game.
Wow. All right. I went 3-2 in the contest. 3-2. Who let me down was the Ravens, which had no business losing that. That was just ridiculous. That's why the NFL is Plinko, pre-flop ATS. Mm-hmm. And then the other one that I lost on was Carolina, who let me down. That was just a bad pick. But those are the only two. So interesting that that was the game, because I had Tampa Bay. But interesting that that was the game that was the big winner for you. Shall we begin with Thursday Night Football, sir?
Thursday Night Football. Well, a real barn burner. Giants and the Eagles.
Giants and the Eagles. Oh, I don't get any better than this. Kind of does, actually. Giants win yesterday 20-19. Well, we're going to talk about coaching decisions today on this show. Let's start with the Washington football team. Giants beat the Washington football team 20-19 when Riverboat Ron Rivera elected to go for two after the football teamers cut it to 20-19 on a Kyle Allen to Sims touchdown pass with 36 seconds left. So I don't know if this is one of these situations where Riverboat Ron felt the need to live up to his name. You know, that's always something that you wonder about. You're like, you know, you don't have to be Riverboat every time. But he decided we're going for the win, even though really the only reason the Giants were up was because of an offensive turnover on the football teamers' part. And so it looked like they were in control of the game, but yet they went for it, didn't get it. And so the New York Giants, off the schneid, get their first win of the year. Daniel Jones, just to illustrate how, you know, Washington really had this game, probably the advantage in this game. Daniel Jones, 12 of 19 for 112 yards passing. He gained 74 yards on the ground. I don't know that I recall seeing a stat line like that too often. 240 total yards for the Giants in their win against Washington. They were 7-4-11 on third downs. At least they did that right. And then there's Philadelphia, who I mentioned. For those of us who had Baltimore against the spread yesterday, my goodness, what a rough outcome that was. Carson Wentz was 21 of 40 for 213, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked six times. But that's his final line. He was 2 of 7 for 3 yards with under 5 minutes left in the first half. 2 of 7 for 3 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, sacked three times with under 5 minutes left in the first half. Then 7 of 14 for 54 yards at the half. By the way, it's Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, guessing lines right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. No first downs for the Eagles on their first six drives of the game. Miles Sanders did fill up the box score, 9 of 118, had that one big run. Travis Fulgham, 6 for 75 and a touchdown. It's the Eagles' worst start since 1998. So it's the 1-5 Giants against the 1-4-1 Eagles. And with an Eagles win and a Cowboys loss, the Eagles could be leading the division. Just wanted to point that out.
I was going to say, they're both right in the thick of the division race. You know, we're laughing, but they both are.
Yeah, which, Chrissy, is another real reason. What you just said right there to me is why Washington probably shouldn't go for two there also. It's not like your season's over. Try to just push it into overtime. I'll say Philly -7 against the Giants.
You're a little high. It's 6.5, which... there's a little bit of 6.5, almost all 6, which is what I'm going to open it. My power ratings come to Eagles 3 without the home field advantage. And I guess we're starting to see that home field is meaning a little something. So I have no beef with the 6. But two things I want to comment on. You know what I didn't understand was the first time the Eagles went for two. They're down 17-0. They score, make it 17-6. Go for two to cut it to 9. I didn't understand that. And it seemed like they were then chasing that point the rest of the way, you know. I know the 2-point, you know, evangelicals that are out there and, you know, that it's better. I'm not sure it's better always. And I think we saw some examples of it yesterday. The other thing I just want to say, and I started thinking about this yesterday, and I know I watch college football probably a lot more than you do, but I was thinking between Daniel Jones and Mitchell Trubisky, you know, watching these guys, there was never a moment when I was thinking, oh my God, these guys are really going to be stars in the NFL. I got to go after these guys. You know, I don't know if they wowed them in the, you know, in Indianapolis, you know, that camp and stuff. I guess they did. But never watching them play football were you just blown away by their incredible talents. So I don't know. That was my thought as I'm watching Jones yesterday.
With regard to Trubisky, I mean, I've said it 100 times where it's like Deshaun Watson is there on display for the entire country to see, right? And beats Alabama, the vaunted Alabama defense, when their defense was spectacular, right? Beats them in the national championship. But yet you're enamored by this guy who had 13 starts at North Carolina. Like, it's the strangest thing in the world what people convince them of themselves of. And here's Daniel Jones, a really high draft pick for the Giants. I don't know if we're at Darnold level yet in terms of thinking to go elsewhere, but soon enough we will be if this continues.
Yeah, I don't think we're at Darnold level yet, you know, but, you know, we need to see some improvement, I can tell you that.
Yeah, so 6.5?
And I haven't seen any signs of it. I'm going to open 6. I like 6 better.
6. Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen any signs of it either.
Six, yeah.
And I'm with you. Just to comment on your remark about, you know, the Eagles going for 2 early. I just think, and I've said this on this show before too, which is coaches seem, with the exception of one or two of them, which we'll talk about later, because they're just so leaps and bounds above the rest of their coaching cohorts. But most of these coaches seem to now, it's gotten into their brain. It's almost like they're like, okay, am I supposed to do? What if I do? What do I do here?
Yeah.
I want to sound smart. I want to look smart. I don't want to be, you know, skewered in the press tomorrow. So I think I'm supposed to go for 2 here. So that's what we're going to do. Like, it just seems that arbitrary sometimes. It's like the blackjack player was, you know, it's like if you have the 16, you know how some there are some blackjack players who are like, this time I'm going to hit. This time I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to sit on it. It's like, at least be consistent through, right? Like, just give me that much. But you don't see that with these coaches. They'll just sort of do what they want to on a whim. So I didn't think, I didn't think that was necessarily the way to play it. And I certainly didn't think Riverboat Ron should have gone for it there. But Eagles 6 is what you're going to put up. I had 7. All right.
Eagles 6. Yeah. I wouldn't want to go too high with anything on either one of these teams. You know, just looks.
All right.
I don't know. 7 would be a mountain to climb.
It's Chris Andrews at Andrews Sports, by the way. We rarely say your Twitter, Chrissy. At Andrews Sports, author of Then One Day, available where all books are sold, including Amazon, of course. Sunday, how many afternoon games? Are we doing the 2 afternoon game thing again this week?
I think we have 3. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, we have 3 afternoon games.
Oh, Jason's
4?
Jason's have 4?
1, 2, 3. Yeah, I'm sorry. Jason's right. It is 4. I missed the Seahawks.
All right. Yeah. I like that distribution. All right. What's first on Sunday morning?
Cleveland at Cincinnati.
Cleveland at Cincinnati. AFC North. Cleveland loses, and I do mean lose, badly to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cleveland loses that game by the score of 38-7 as 3-point dogs. Money came in on Cleveland as game time approached. They lose 38-7.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, 10 of 18 for 119. 1 touchdown, 2 picks, sacked 4 times. He was taken out of the game for Case Keenum in this one. Case Keenum was 5 for 10 for 46. But the Browns were 1 of 12 on third downs. They were 0 for 3 on fourth down. They only had 220 total yards of offense. They were minus 2 in turnovers. Just a recipe for disaster. Pittsburgh was one of mine yesterday. Cincinnati was up on the Colts 21-0. And for those of us who had the Dolphins and Survivor, this was a tough one to watch the Colts come back, because a lot of people had the Colts and Survivor. Joe Burrow, future Hall of Famer, 25 of 39. That's what my buddy Matt Brown calls him on primetime action. 25 of 39 for 313, no touchdowns, 1 pick, 2 sacks. T. Higgins, his biggest target once again, 6 for 125. Bengals were 8 of 17 on third down, 2 of 2 on fourth down. They're 0-16-1 in their last 17 road games, for those who like longer stats from even before Joe Burrow was around with the Bengals. 0-16-1 last 17 road games. It's their third loss this season, the Bengals. Third loss this season by 5 points or fewer. And under Zach Taylor now, they're 3-18-1. Outscored by the Colts 31-6 after leading 21-0, as I said yesterday. I will say Cleveland is a... This is not going to be that high. I'll say Cleveland minus 3 at Cincinnati.
It's 3.5. I see 2 places, 3 with 25-cent juice on the Browns. I'm going to open 3.5. You know, Gil, if you remember at the beginning of the year, I said, not that Cincinnati is going to win a lot of games, but they're going to cover a lot of numbers as a dog. And they did yesterday. That stat that you threw out earlier about their losses by 5 points or less,
yeah,
I think that goes to prove it. My power ratings come to 5 on Cleveland, again, without the home field advantage. I don't give Cincy much, but, you know, I think 3.5 is, like, okay to start with. But, you know, you look back at Baker Mayfield, still incredibly inconsistent. And Joe Burrow, 79.3 was his QBR yesterday. So, you know, they blew that game. You know, I'm still not sure about Taylor as a coach. But they blew that game, but that was not Joe Burrow's fault in any way. I thought he played really well, certainly enough, well enough for them to win that game. 3.5, I think I'd probably be looking at dog in this game, but, you know, I know if I open 3, they'll just, you know, flood me with the -3. So I'm going to open 3.5, keep an eye on it. But I think 3 is probably a little bit of a better number in this game. 3.5 to me would be take or pass for sure with Cleveland or with Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's how I see it. Were you surprised by your Steelers yesterday?
Yeah, you know, you gave the stat. What was Cleveland on third down? And, you know, boy, did I hear it from Steeler fans this last week. I knocked their defense that I didn't like the way they were playing. And the guys were giving me all these statistics. Yeah, you know, but I know what I was seeing. They weren't making a lot of big plays when they needed to. And I don't have the number right in front of me, but their third down conversion rate as a defense was not very good. And that's probably what came into my mind. I'm looking to get them – get the opposition off the field. They weren't always doing that, but they certainly did that yesterday. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick, which I never had much doubt in, but a lot of guys were saying he wasn't playing that well this year, and he had the big interception return for a touchdown that really kind of set the tone for the game. And I think Minkah's terrific myself. So I think he was well worth trading a number one draft choice for. So I heard it by a lot of Steelers fans, but they did shut down Cleveland on third down. And that was the most impressive thing about that, about their defense yesterday. Very, very consistent. And they really bottled up Mayfield pretty good.
Boy, did Minkah turn his career around, like, immediately after that trade, as soon as he put on a Steelers uniform. One for, just to repeat, yeah. Cleveland, 1 of 12 on third downs yesterday and 0 for 3 on fourth. And again, third down conversion rates, both offensively and in terms of defensive prevention of it, probably more a thing that regresses to a mean than necessarily predictive. By the way, Cincinnati, just to repeat their stat, third loss this season by 5 points or fewer. They're 1-4-1, but 3 of those 4 losses by 5 points or fewer, and then obviously the tie as well. Let's do one more here.
One more. Dallas against your Washington football team.
Dallas at Washington. Well, Dallas hasn't played. They will play tonight, by the way, 2 games tonight, of course. I should say 1 game this afternoon, really, Pacific time. Yeah. It's a 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific start between the Chiefs and the Bills. What an awkward time. Awkward just in terms of a time we're not used to having a game start on a Monday. 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific between Kansas City and Buffalo. The Chiefs are 5.5-point favorites in the first of 2 tonight in the National Football League to close out Week 6. And then it's Arizona-Dallas, the originally scheduled Monday nighter. Remember, Kansas City-Buffalo postponed because Buffalo-Tennessee had to get postponed, and then it's just a whole domino effect. Arizona-Dallas tonight. Dallas is a 1.5-point favorite. So we get to see Andy Dalton start here. Not we get to, but sadly we see Andy Dalton start because of Dak Prescott's season-ending injury. So we don't know about Dallas. We do know, as we've just mentioned about Washington yesterday, losing to the Giants, had the chance to tie it and force what probably would have been overtime. Instead, they go for 2 and they miss. And so Washington's 1-5. Dallas leads the NFC East at 2-3 headed into tonight's game. By the way, Kyle Allen yesterday for Washington, 31 of 42 for 280, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked 3 times. Terry McLaurin always needs a mention for any Washington box score, 7 catches, 74 yards. I'll say sight unseen for the Cowboys tonight. I'll say it's Dallas -4, Chrissy.
A lot of numbers out there. A low of 3 with some juice on the favorite and a high of 4. I see it all over the place. Now, you know, if anybody was listening last week, I told everybody I loved the Cowboys this week. They were a 2-point dog. They've now gone to – I'm still running 1 at South Point. It's 1 or 1.5. So a pretty big turnaround as far as the number goes. But I expect Dallas to play well tonight. But still, my numbers only come to a 4-point differential, again, with no home field advantage. And I'm not sure Washington has ever had a home field
ever.
Advantage with that new stadium.
Ever.
Yeah, I mean, their home field is essentially 0. But as a placeholder, I'm going to open at 3.5, see how that goes. I think that's an okay starting point. But we'll see how Dallas plays tonight. But like I said, I expect Dallas to play well tonight. I think Andy Dalton's going to be a very capable substitute for Dak Prescott.
I can't imagine, again, we don't know what's going to happen with the Cowboys tonight. God forbid there's any more injuries for them. But I'm just saying, Dallas minus three, if that's what some have out there against Washington, seems like an auto play on Dallas to me. And I know Dallas's defense is terrible, but it's not like
that's the thing.
It's not like Washington has the offense to exploit that, though.
Right.
You know, so it's sort of weakness against weakness. And then if you look at the other side of the ball, I'll take Dallas's offense, despite how good Washington's defensive front can be. I'll take Dallas's offense in that. So Dallas, you're putting up minus 3.5, you said?
I'm using 3.5, but see, I would take a little bit of issue with that. I think Dallas's defense is just so bad. And Washington, you know, I mean, these guys are still professional athletes that were stars through high school and college. You know, you face a defense as bad as Dallas has been, and it's been bad. I think they could put up some points. So I'm not sure I'd automatically lay the 3, but the public might, especially if Dallas looks good tonight.
All right. I lied. Let's try one more here.
Okay, Detroit at Atlanta.
Detroit at Atlanta. Detroit beats Jacksonville yesterday in a game that I probably saw 3 plays of. Detroit beats them 34-16. They crush them as 3-point favorites. A lot of turnovers for Jacksonville, or a lot of big turnovers in that game. Let's see here. Detroit at Jacksonville. Detroit at Atlanta is the pick. So Detroit yesterday, Stafford. Stafford, 19 of 31 for 223, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, sacked 0 times. DeAndre Swift, greatest name ever. 14 for 116 on the ground, 2 touchdowns. Galladay, 4 for 105. Detroit's time of possession advantage over Jacksonville, 35-57 to 24-03. Consecutive road wins for the first time since November 2017 for the Detroit Lions. Congratulations to them. And then there's Atlanta, which got off the schneid. Atlanta with their first win of the year. They crush Minnesota, 40-23. Matt Ryan, 30 of 40 for 371, 4 touchdowns, no picks, sacked 2 times. Julio Jones, 8 for 137, 2 touchdowns. They were 9 of 17 on third down, 3 for 3 on fourth, 462 total yards. They were plus 2 in turnovers, and they had the ball for over 40 minutes versus the Vikings, 40-07 to 19-53. And I said Atlanta minus 4. What say you?
You're a little high. It's almost a blanket 3. I see a little bit of 3 with some juice on the favorite. I got to say, I like that number better. My numbers have these two teams at exactly even. Now, if we're going to look at yesterday's game, you know, I thought Stafford looked really good. As a matter of fact, the whole Detroit team, particularly their offense, I thought looked really good. But they played a very bad Jacksonville team, who I think all of us had earmarked as the worst team in the league before the season started. Of course, the Jets have blown them away as far as that goes. But I think you also look at Atlanta against Minnesota, and again, their offense looked great, but it's looked great pretty much all year. First game under Raheem Morris as their head coach. So I think that probably gave him a little bit of a psychological edge. But also, is Minnesota any good? I think we're conditioned to think that they are, but I don't think they are. I think that's been certainly one of the big disappointments so far this year. So I think you're seeing two teams that came off impressive wins against highly unimpressive opponents. And I think we're just conditioned to think Atlanta's a little better because their offense has been so much better for so much longer that I think the public probably will lay the 3, but I'm going to open 3 and I'm willing to take a bet there. And I think the Lions are very live in this spot. They laid me the 3. I think that's going to be fine. I'm certainly willing to take a bet there.
These are pretty logical lines. The guesses so far have not been far off on these. And your point about Minnesota is well taken. Kirk Cousins yesterday, 24 of 36 for 343, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. But those 3 picks were all in the first half. It's the first time he's ever in his illustrious interception throwing career. And he was on an epically historical pace. People who forget his early days with Washington, epically historical interception pace before the you like that game against the Buccaneers, which sort of just flipped his career. This is the first time he's ever thrown 3 interceptions in the first half ever. He has had 20 multiple interception games in his career. His teams in those 20 multiple interception games, 0-20. So, yeah. And then, you know, the rushing yards for the Vikings yesterday, 32 total rushing yards. Again, no Dalvin, right? But 32 total rushing yards, that ain't going to get it done. So Falcons are the beneficiaries. I mean, take nothing away from the Falcons. They were probably due. Between now that we have the Falcons and the Giants, who we've already talked about winning, it's only the Jets who are winless now in the National Football League. So you're opening Detroit at Atlanta at what number again?
I'm opening 3. And like I said, I'm pretty sure the public is going to lay this. I'm not sure which way the wise guys are going to go, but I think the public is going to lay this. And like I said, I'm certainly willing to take a bet at the 3. But I think this will go to 3.5 sooner, probably, rather than later. And then we'll see what the wise guys want to do. I think they'll probably come in on the lines, but that's just a hunch. But I think 3 is a good place to start.
So let's continue with guessing lines in week number 7. What's next?
Okay, we have Carolina at New Orleans.
Carolina at New Orleans. New Orleans will be coming off a bye. Carolina loses. That was one of my two losses in the contest yesterday. Carolina loses to the Bears. So the Bears go to 5-1. We'll get to them. But Carolina drops to 3-3. Teddy Bridgewater yesterday, 16 of 29 for 216. No touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked 4 times. DJ Moore got the most of it from him, 5 for 93. The Panthers outgained the Bears 303 to 261. But they were -2 in turnovers, and that's usually the dealio. By the way, I mentioned this with the Bears against the Bucks on that Thursday night game, how Matt Nagy, the Bucks had one timeout left, and they decided, the Bears did, to throw a pass play, which of course went incomplete, so Tom Brady ended up getting the ball with way more time after the Bears go-ahead field goal late than he should have. And it ended up working out for the Bears because Tom Brady had the senior moment, among other things, and the Bears won the football game 20-19. Yesterday, same thing. The Bears left a timeout on the board for Carolina late when they threw a pass when they shouldn't have, right? Should have just bled the clock, made Carolina use their final timeout. So Carolina ends up with the ball, a chance to tie the game with a timeout, and it still worked out for the Bears. So they get away with it yet again. But Carolina loses to the Bears by the final score yesterday of let's make sure I know that, 23-16, and get it done as a 2-point dog to the Bears. So this one here, in this particular situation, though, I will take New Orleans -7 off a bye.
Okay. They are 7.5 pretty much everywhere. I see 7s with some juice on the favorite, but mostly 7.5, a little bit of 7.5 with a little juice on the dog. I'm opening 7. First thing I'm saying is, are we sure New Orleans is any good?
Right.
And my answer is no. I'm not sure they're any good at all. And I just had them here. Yeah, they beat the Bucs opening week. Okay, it was Brady's first game. Lost to the Raiders, lost to the Packers. Okay, no disgrace there. Beat the Lions by 6, beat the Chargers by 3. So they haven't covered a 7. Well, okay, I'm sorry, they did, against the Buccaneers. And Carolina, I'm not downgrading them after yesterday's win. And the more I look at this Bears team, I think that, listen, they're 5-1. How they're 5-1, I have no idea. But their defense is very, very good. And I said it going into yesterday's game, I kind of like Carolina myself yesterday. But I think Bridgewater's getting better and better and better since that horrific injury he had a couple years ago. He did not play well yesterday, there's no doubt. Didn't play well at all. But like I said, I think he was going against a very tough defense. My numbers come more to like 6 in this game than 7.5. And 7.5 seems like an awfully high number for a team that I'm just not sure of at all. And I think Carolina is getting better and better as the year has gone on. So I'm opening 7. I'm sure they'll lay it to me. That's fine. I'm willing to take a bet there. But 7.5 to me, too high. And I have a feeling the wise guys are going to come in on Carolina on this one.
Yeah, possible that Christian McCaffrey will not return until the November 8th game at Kansas City, pardon me, which would mean he would miss six games altogether. So help is eventually on the way, but not really anytime soon for the Carolina Panthers. So you are opening 7. You're opening the number that I guessed on that. New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm opening 7.
All right, let's do one more here.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Buffalo at the New York Jets.
Buffalo at the Jets. Buffalo, again, plays today. Buffalo's got that game against Kansas City. It's the early game, the 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific game. Buffalo, 5.5-point dogs hosting Kansas City today. Buffalo's 4-1. As far as the Jets are now 0-6. They're the only winless team in the National Football League. They got past their own 33-yard line yesterday in an absolute destruction by the Dolphins. Dolphins beat them 24-0. Jets got past their own 33-yard line on one drive in the first half. Only four drives in the entire game did they get past their own 33-yard line, and two of those were in garbage time. With under 10 minutes left in the second half, the Jets were down 21-0. I don't know if anybody noticed this, but this is when you know you're a really bad football team. Under 10 minutes left in the third quarter now I'm talking. Under 10 minutes left in the third quarter. Jets are down 21-0. And Miami unsuccessfully tries to draw the Jets off sides. I think it was a fourth and short near midfield. Ryan Fitzpatrick does the hard count. The Dolphins unsuccessfully try to draw the Jets offside. About 2 seconds after the whistle blows to indicate that it's a delay of game and the 5-yard penalty, Ryan Fitzpatrick just sort of comically stays behind center in a crouch and keeps yelling thing and then just laughs, just smiles because he's just having such a gay old time out there, right? That he's just like, this is ridiculous. That's when you know your football team is a joke. When the other player just doesn't care anymore. By the way, Flacco yesterday, 21 of 44 for 196. No touchdowns, one pick, 3 sacks, one of which was comical. The Jets were 2 of 17 on third down. They didn't convert a third down till the fourth quarter. Miami wasn't good on third downs either. They're the only winless team, as I mentioned, in the NFL. 3 losses by 20-plus points. It's their first 0-6 start since 1996 when Rich Kotite was their coach. Whenever you invoke Kotite, it's bad. And they've been outscored 114-29 in the first half this season. They were outscored 114-29 in the first half this season, including 21-0 yesterday. Whew. Chrissy, we got to go to break because I'm going to get your number after I guess mine right here. But they are really bad. Like, so bad. I mentioned this last week on the show. One of the probably best survivor strategies this year is just take the team that plays the Jets. Like, if you can't do it every week because they're obviously going to play teams in their division twice, but man, are they bad. And Sam Darnold, now trade rumors starting to fly about him getting traded to Indy, so we shall see there. I'll say Buffalo minus 10 at the Jets. We'll find out what the number is coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
dog. We haven't gone over your Bills and Jets number yet.
Oh, I said Bills minus 10. That's right. Go ahead. What are you?
But we haven't commented.
No, we have not. I apologize. Yes.
Okay. First of all, my friend Barry, who's from Miami, he's probably listening right now, and he doesn't have a high opinion of Coach Gaze, let's just say that. He says the first time Gaze went to halftime and as a head coach in Miami and saw Miami up by 21 points. That was a pretty good twist on it, you know. During the break, I was looking for this chart. It's not a candlestick chart. I forget what they call this chart. It's kind of like a plus minus chart of games with their final outcome. And it's so bad for Adam Gaze. It's unbelievably horrible on how many games he's lost by a certain number of points and how many games he's won. And the wins obviously are very few and far between. My numbers come to 18 on this game. Now, my first mention of diminishing returns, because, I don't think you could have a road favorite 18 points in the NFL. But anyway, the number is 11, and I'm an open 11, but if I see, because I do see 110 out there, if I see this trending higher in any way, shape, or form, I'm going higher. This team is historically bad as far as my methodology of keeping power ratings. This is the worst I have ever had, I believe, for the Jets. And they're playing a very good team, by the way. And I know they got trounced last week, but I expect them to show tonight. And I don't know if they beat Kansas City, but I think this will be a very, very close game. So I'm going to open at 11, but if I see it trending higher in any way, I'm going higher myself.
Yeah, and Sam Darnold, by the way, who suffered an AC joint sprain in his throwing shoulder during that Thursday night loss to the Broncos, hasn't played in 2 weeks, and now it seems to have drifted into, if you believe reports, they're trying to trade Sam Darnold. Joe Flacco looks like he cares as much about a football game as I do about the opera that's taking place in elsewhere tonight. I don't know where. I care as little, no matter where it is. But he just doesn't look like he cares at all. And that might just be his face, might just be the Flacco face. Maybe he cares deeply, but I just don't get that feeling about it when you watch him in a game. And the Dolphins, for your friend, the Dolphins, they were 1 of 9 on third downs. We got to see Tua for 2 passes. Tua was 2 of 2 for 9 yards. Consecutive wins by 20-plus points for the first time for the Dolphins since 1990. And the first time the Miami Dolphins have been ahead of the New England Patriots in the AFC East in week 6 or later since 2008. First time week 6 or later since 2008 that they've been ahead of the Patriots. Take that for what it's worth. But what are you posting then? What's the final number?
I'm going to open 11, and 11. That's the highest watermark that I see. So that's what I'm going to go with. I see a little bit lower in some spots, but I'm going to stay high on this one.
These guesses have been spot on. Spot on. All right, give me one more.
Packers at the Texans.
Packers at the Texans. Okay. Green Bay loses to Tampa Bay yesterday. Green Bay loses to Tampa Bay. Rodgers was 16 of 35 for 160. No touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked 4 times. Only 201 total yards of offense for the Packers yesterday. They were -2 in turnovers. But those 2 turnovers, because it was 0 versus 2, those two turnovers were 2 Aaron Rodgers picks. The Packers were up in this game 10-0. And it looked like they were going to dominate this football game, really. And then a pick 6 to Jamel Dean, 32 yards to the house, made it 10-7. Then 3 Packers offensive plays later on the ensuing drive, Mike Edwards returns a pick 37 yards to the Green Bay 2. Next play, touchdown. Green Bay never scored again. 38 straight for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Green Bay falls from the ranks of the unbeaten. So now we have 3 unbeatens: Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and Seattle. Houston loses to Tennessee. We should probably talk about that. Houston loses to Tennessee 42-36 in overtime. Deshaun Watson, 28 of 37 for 335, 4 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Fuller, 6 for 123 and a touchdown. It's Houston's worst start at 1-5 since 2005. Okay, let's talk about Romeo Crennel first. Romeo Crennel, let's do the one that everybody's talking about, then we'll do the part that no one's talking about, or very few people are talking about, but Derek Stevens was smart enough to talk about this morning on Follow the Money. First of all, Romeo Crennel. Houston decides to go for it on fourth and goal at the Tennessee one, up 30-29 with 1:53 left. Okay, that's the right play. Watson to Cooks, touchdown. But then they're up 36-29, and instead of kicking an extra point to go up eight, they go for two to try to go up nine and seal the deal. At least that's Romeo Crennel's thinking. They fail, because of course they do. Watson to Cobb was the intended pass. So that, of course, then means they're only up 36-29 instead of just kicking the extra point and going up 37-29. Of course it leads to an 11-play, 76-yard drive that with 1:45 left in the game took 1:41. Tannehill to Brown, 7-yard touchdown pass to win it, or excuse me, to tie the game once they hit the extra point, 4 seconds left. Then, of course, Tennessee wins the coin flip in overtime. And on the second play of overtime, Tannehill to Henry, little pass, goes 53 yards. 4 plays later, Henry crashes in from the 5. Ball game, 42-36. That's Tennessee's 4th win this season by 6 points or fewer. But enough about Tennessee. Let's get back to Crennel for a second. We'll get to Tennessee in a minute. Crennel deciding, Chrissy, to go up 9, try to go up 9, up 7 with 1:45 left in the game instead of just kicking the extra point. Again, getting back to our discussion earlier. Just stop overthinking it. Kick the extra point because it makes the other team have to successfully do two things. Not one, two. Because we're assuming if you get a touchdown, your expected point value of a two-point conversion is just around one, meaning it's a 50-50 proposition. Whereas with extra points, you know, it's still much closer to getting the point converted. Your expected point value is just shy of one. You're going to miss some, but you're going to make most of them. I just don't understand. I get the thinking is, oh, we'll go up 9 and the game will be over. Yeah, but if you don't, and it's a 50-50 proposition, because you're not the team with Derrick Henry. You're the team that always goes in shotgun anyway in those situations. What are you doing? Am I wrong?
Oh, no, I think you're 100% right. And the other thing that, you know, is always part of the equation, and I don't think it's discussed enough, is once you complete whatever it is, whether you kick or go for two, make, miss, whatever, the other team gets the ball. And right now, like you said, the other team gets the ball. Okay, they have to do two things.
Yes.
Just to tie you. Okay, but then after that, well, I mean, yeah, it gets a little theoretical because we're getting into overtime. But then you have a chance to get the ball. You know, so, you know, I thought, like, if you just follow the dots, you know, kicking and going up 8 was absolutely the right choice. And there may be some mathematical stuff out there that would indicate otherwise. But I think there's a psychology to it as well. Your team has not won too many games this year. And you have a chance to beat a very, very good team on the road by going up 8 and forcing them to do two different things just to tie you. I think, you know, you had to go for one there and go up 8. I think you just had to. And, you know, I don't want to second guess it because we were in the office at the time saying, would you do this? And none of us would have.
Oh, there was no armchair quarterbacking with that. That was right at the moment.
Yeah.
What is he doing? What is he doing? And the other way to say it is what you're doing up 7 right there is you're basically saying, you know what? Let's put the burden of converting the 2-point conversion on us rather than on the other team.
Yeah.
That sounds like a smart thing to do instead of the other way around. And just if that sentence alone doesn't drive it home, I don't know what else does. It's Green Bay at Houston, getting back to the point. I'll say Green Bay, I don't know, I'll say -3. Is that too short?
You know, my numbers come to 3, but it's mostly 3.5. I do see some 3s out there with juice on the favorite, but my numbers come to 3.5. Like I said, even though it's a little higher than what my power ratings would be, I think the Packers coming off a loss like that, I think are really going to be tremendously focused on this game and make amends. Whereas Houston coming off a loss like that, I see it kind of the other way. So I like 3.5 much better in this spot, even though my numbers skew a little bit lower.
All right. When we come back, everybody's talking about the Romeo Crennel decision, the Romeo Crennel decision to go for two. But we got to talk about something that Mike Vrabel did before that final sequence on that same drive that is the difference between winning and losing football. Unbelievable what Mike Vrabel did, and shout out to him. Put him up there, top tier, if not at the top, right behind Belichick of NFL coaches. We'll discuss it next. Guessing lines right here on A Numbers Game at Visa. Hour number two of A Numbers Game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. Skill Alexander, how you doing? Jason Kahn is here. Chrissy Andrews from the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. Guessing lines for week number seven in the NFL. I don't think hour one turned up anything, really. Like, that was pretty ho-hum guessing slate of half the schedule thus far. But what I want to get into here, because we just talked about the Houston side, because Green Bay at Houston, Chrissy just threw out as a game next week. So we talked about the Romeo Crennel thing. Chrissy, do you know what I'm about to talk about with Mike Vrabel? Are you hip to what he did yesterday?
Yeah, with the extra man on the field.
Okay.
But go ahead. I'll let you say it, and then I have a comment about it, too.
Yeah, so, okay. One of the staples of this show, A Numbers Game at Veasan, through the years, talking football, you may remember my conversations with Todd Wishnev about the rules in the NFL about two-point conversions and how you can manipulate it, how the rules are really skewed in favor of the offensive team at that point. And we've talked on this show about all the different little loopholes that coaches, there are very few of them, but coaches in the NFL can exploit. And one of the big ones we used to talk about was when the clock was north of 5 minutes. So in other words, when there was more than 5 minutes left in a football game, and a team was nursing a lead, Bill Belichick used to do it all the time. He used to take multiple delay of game penalties. And as long as you had more than 5 minutes on the clock, and no matter how many, you know, you did it when you were in an advantageous position up late in the game, you could take multiple delay of games and the clock would keep restarting. I think you could do it about three times and then they'd probably say, all right, we know what you're doing and you'll get a flag if you do it again. But Belichick did it a lot. And Mike Vrabel, who of course played for Belichick, started doing this with the Titans, and most famously last year, and we just were tickled by this, if you remember, in the playoff game against the Patriots themselves, Vrabel and the Titans were up 14-13 last year late. And during the fourth quarter, he exploited that same loophole in the rule book that allowed Tennessee to run 1 minute and 49 seconds off the clock without running a single play. And it was fitting because, again, as I said, it was the same strategy that Belichick, for instance, used all the time. He used it during a 33-0 win over the Jets in October of last year. So in that game in the playoffs, the Titans had a 4th-and-5 from the Patriots 36-yard line with just 6:33 left to play. And Vrabel didn't want to kick a field goal because the weather was inclement, so he decided to punt the ball. But not until his team took a delay of game penalty, which took the clock down to 5:52 left. Following that penalty, the Titans got a fresh 25-second play clock. They let the new clock tick down to zero before taking a false start penalty, which didn't sit well with Belichick. Belichick was going nuts on the sideline because he's like, here's my guy using my thing against me. It was awesome. At that point, the clock was down to 5:28. Now, after being called for two penalties, the Titans were finally going to punt it, but then the Patriots, if you remember, jumped off sides, which allowed the Titans to take the clock down to 5:13. And then after that penalty, the Titans got another fresh 25-second clock. And by the time they finally snapped it, there was just 4:50 left to play, including the punt itself. The clock actually ticked down to 4:44, which means the Titans ran a total of 1 minute and 49 seconds off the clock before the Patriots took possession. You may recall the Titans end up winning it 20-13. Okay, so that was that. And they changed that rule, by the way. They changed the rule this offseason because they're like, ah, well, you did it. They finally noticed it when it was done on a big playoff stage. And they're like, okay, we know what you're up to, buddy. Then enough of that rule, Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel. But this was the first sign that Mike Vrabel was smarter than the average NFL coach, right? He was a Belichick disciple. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, and again, shout out to Derek Stevens, who picked up on this also. He mentioned it on Follow the Money this morning. Yesterday, the same drive we're talking about where Romeo Crennel ultimately decided we're going for 2-7. And we know how the rest of that went out. We just talked about it. Titans matriculate down the field. They force overtime. They win in overtime. By the way, win for bettors, too. Just a tough beat for Houston Texans bettors. So yesterday, Vrabel, it's got to be the best decision of Week 6. And props, the real people who talked about it the most, is like are in a Titans subreddit group. Like that's how because the announcers, of course, said nothing. They had no idea what was going on in this. So the Titans trailed Texans 30-29. They had just turned over the ball on a Ryan Tannehill interception. So Houston, up 30 to 29, had a 2nd-and-1 at the Titans 25-yard line with 3:49 remaining on a running clock. Now follow me here, and let me just pause to say it's Gil Alexander and Chris Andrews right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, guessing lines, but also talking about this amazing thing that Mike Vrabel did yesterday, the difference between winning coaches and losing coaches in the NFL. So 2nd-and-1 at the Titans 25 with 3:49 remaining on a running clock. So, you know, they got a 2nd and 3rd down. They only need one yard. The odds of them converting that, the Texans, that is very high. But if the Titans were penalized 5 yards, the clock would stop, and it would become a 1st down for the Texans, and it would save approximately 40 seconds of clock time. And again, while it cost them the 2nd down conversion, they were likely to give it up anyway. So Mike Vrabel sent on an extra defender, putting 12 men on the field on purpose and setting up the penalty. And if you watch the video, and shout out to Mike Herndon at Mike Miracles on Twitter if you want to see this. Mike Herndon at Mike Miracles. The video shows cornerback Jonathan Joseph looking really confused. Like, coach, I'm not supposed to be out here. Kind of expression. And Vrabel sort of telling him through his mask, because we can't see what he's actually saying, but basically saying, hey, don't worry about it. Everything's okay. Just stay out there. Just stay out there kind of thing. He does a great sell job and gets the penalty. And so in the end, yeah, they matriculated it down to the 1-yard line. They ended up getting the touchdown, and then they shot themselves in the foot with a terrible decision to go for two. And again, the rest is history. But those, they wouldn't have had 1:45 to work with, the Titans, had Vrabel not exploited yet another thing in the rule books. Where he's like, well, it's not even exploiting. It's, you know what? It's a positive EV. It is a win probability plus for him to do this right now. To throw out a 12th man and take a penalty, stop the clock, give them another set of downs. Genius, Chrissy. Genius. That's the difference between their win and their loss.
Okay, one thing. You said the announcers didn't say anything. Well, Chris Gannon kind of said, well, there's a mental mistake by Mike Vrabel.
Oh.
Having 12 men on the field.
They said the opposite.
Okay, now hang on.
Yeah.
They said the opposite. Warren Sharp pointed out he did the exact same thing in 2018. They were playing the Jets. The announcer again was Rich Gannon, and Rich Gannon again said this. Well, you know, he said it first in 2018, obviously, that another mistake by Mike Vrabel, a mental error by Mike Vrabel by having 12 men on the field. And both times, obviously, Vrabel did it on purpose to save the time, and it went past Rich Gannon twice. I got to say, it would have gone past me, too, had somebody not explained it to me. So I think Vrabel, and by the way, just to remind people out there, he was originally a Steeler. And I can't remember if they cut him or traded him for some late draft choice to get him over to New England. And I remember at the time thinking, are they crazy? This guy is a terrific player, and he's had a great career. I don't know how many Super Bowl rings he has. And he's going to be a terrific coach, too. He's already in certain – I'm not going to put him up with Belichick yet – but he's certainly in that upper echelon. The guy really shows a lot of high-level thinking, higher than most of these coaches, certainly.
He joined the Patriots as a free agent, by the way, 2001.
Oh, did he? Okay. Yeah. So I think that Steelers might have just cut him.
Yeah, could be. It's just an amazing play, amazing heads-up play or heads-up coaching decision by Mike Vrabel. And again, that's the difference between winning and losing. And certainly Romeo Crennel then helped out as well after that. But they don't get there without that decision from Vrabel. So the Titans remain undefeated. I'm guessing, because Jason kind of tipped me off on this, that the Titans is the next game?
No, actually I got Seahawks and Cardinals next.
Oh, Seahawks and Cardinals, pardon me. Seahawks and Cardinals. Yeah. Seahawks are coming off a bye, and the Cardinals haven't played yet. Cardinals play the Cowboys again tonight in the second of the two Monday night games, the originally scheduled Monday night game between the Cardinals and the Cowboys, where the Cardinals are now 1.5-point dogs in this game. I don't know. Seattle shouldn't be 3-point. See, here's the thing. Seattle's undefeated, but good Lord. I mean, it's Russell Wilson escape jobs, as per usual. I'll say it's a, I'll split the difference between 3 and pick. I'll say Seattle minus 1.5.
Well, it's 3 with juice on the favorite, Sea Dogs being the favorite. And I have it higher than that.
Wow.
You know my opinion of Russell Wilson. And I do not want to go into Sunday's game rooting against Russell Wilson. Because first of all, I think the Cardinals lose tonight. So, I mean, I'm opening 3.5 on this one. They might jump in and take it because it's 3 with juice on the favorite. But I'm opening 3.5. And you know what? You want to bet against Russell Wilson? Please do that. Please. Because I'm so tired of rooting against this guy every single week. And usually getting my hat handed to me at the end of the day.
Well, I'm with you.
So I like Seattle here.
I've said it many times. I hate betting against Russell Wilson. But you know who else I hate betting against? Kyler Murray, too. That might be my first play. That might be the first one I like here on Guessing Lines. Arizona. Again, sight unseen. They haven't played yet. They play tonight. But if it's more than 3, I'll grab the Cardinals for sure in that one. They will be on short rest, though, as they play tonight. All right, let's do one more here.
The 49ers at the Patriots.
The 49ers at the Patriots. 49ers win last night. They beat the Rams by the score of 24-16 as 2-point home dogs. Jimmy G gets in the game, 23 of 33, 3 touchdowns, no picks, no sacks. Kittle, no surprise, his biggest target, 7 for 109 and a touchdown. So San Francisco beats the Rams. Probably the fewest plays of a primetime NFL game I've watched, quite frankly, yet this year, because the Dodgers and the Dodgers and the Braves had their Game 7 going last night, and I was far more invested in that affair than I was in this football game, if I'm just being honest. But I saw enough, and Jason was telling me you saw the right play, which was that Jared Goff pick in the end zone when it was 21-9 and the Rams had a shot there.
Yeah.
And then he threw that pass in the end zone. New England yesterday, this was the big one. This is the biggest survivor loss yesterday. New England loses to Denver, and they lose to Denver by the score of 18-12. Denver scored on their first 6 possessions, all 6 Brandon McManus field goals, and those points held up. New England ended up Cam's numbers. Cam was 17-25 in the end for 157, but he did gain 76 yards on the ground on 10 carries with a touchdown. But he only threw, so he ran for 76. He only threw for 157. Edelman threw 2 passes on this final drive. So here's the thing in this game. It was 18-12. And it was, well, first of all, it was 18-9. And then all of a sudden, Drew Lock and the Broncos decided, you know what? We're going to throw downfield because that's what you do. Like, if you had told me, are you the team that's up 18-9 or the team that's down 18-9? So Lock throws 2 consecutive picks deep downfield. The first one leads to a New England Patriots field goal that makes it 18-12. The second one, you're like, are you kidding me? What are you doing? Milk the clock. Make them use their timeouts. Win this. So the Patriots end up with the ball and a chance to win. And you're like, I can't believe this is happening. They go to 2 Edelman trick plays. Edelman ends up 2 for 2 for 38 yards. But in the end, the Broncos get the stop. And the Patriots lose. 3 turnovers for the Patriots in this game. So they were -1 in that department despite the Drew Lock picks late. It's the Patriots' worst start at 2-3 since 2001. And get this, the first loss under Bill Belichick when not allowing a touchdown. How about that? San Francisco at New England. Now, this is going to be interesting. I was going to say the first hour of this show, there wasn't much in terms of a line discrepancy. But we've started out with a bang here in this one. I'll say New England -3 just because they're the Patriots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, it's a little higher. I see 1.5, a lot of juice on the dog, mostly 3 juice on the favorite. So you know at the South Point we open, or we do everything at 11 to 10, not just open. We do everything at 11 to 10. I'm opening 3 flat, and first of all, my power ratings on the Niners have been like all over the place because all the injuries they've had, including Garoppolo, but also a myriad of other players. But are we sure the Patriots are any good?
No, we're definitely
and
not.
Are we now saying to ourselves, oh, this is why nobody wanted to sign Cam Newton to an exorbitant contract in the offseason? Because he has not looked good. He had one good game in the opener, and we thought it was the second coming. But he has not looked very good since then. To me, three to me is a take. I would take 3 with the 49ers. I think this New England team, they're suffering from the same exact thing that they suffered from last year. No skill position players to help a quarterback. And last year they had Brady. This year they don't. They have Newton, who I think maybe is just a shell of himself. So I think 3 to me is a definite take for the 49ers. And I'm going to open 3, but it's 3 with juice. So they'll probably lay it to me and have at it. You're welcome to it.
I was really hoping you were going to tell me New England was like a 4.5 point favorite. Because that I just wanted there to be a New England bump, but maybe there isn't one anymore after seeing that yesterday. So 3 it is. By the way, it's an interesting, you keep saying, you know, are we sure this team is good? Are we sure that team is good? That's sort of been a theme on MSG Plus on Primetime Action, the show that I do with Matt Brown and Danielle Alvari and Kelly Bidlin, where we do in-game betting. We talk now specifically in the AFC, we get who's good. Kansas City's good. Baltimore's good. Buffalo and Tennessee, Pittsburgh as well. You can't really deny that those are good football teams. Maybe there's a flaw here and there with them. Okay, none of them are perfect, but those are good football teams. Can we say there isn't a glaring flaw in any of the NFC teams? Maybe Tampa Bay? Maybe Tampa Bay's the best of the bunch after what we saw yesterday?
Might be.
But like the rest of them, I just don't know. Green Bay's defense isn't that good? Certainly, going back to the AFC, certainly New England. No, they're not good at all. There's a lot of teams that are, first of all, there's a lot of bad teams, right? I used to say this about baseball the last 3 years. The chasm between the haves and the have-nots have widened increasingly every year. You're seeing guys, you know, who aren't aces at minus 270 and minus 280 in games. We didn't see that 3-4 years ago. Football, man, there are so many bad teams. I'm not saying New England's one of them, but they're not good. So San Francisco at New England favored by 3, and I might be with you. It might be a take on the Niners for me, even at that number. What is next, sir? Are we in the afternoon yet?
That game was the Cardinals game was the afternoon. Sorry, I didn't mean to, to skip. The Titans game is in the morning, so it must be at the end of the rotation because it moved or something like that. That
was... No problem. What's next, Chris?
This is an afternoon game. Kansas City at Denver.
All right, Kansas City. We haven't seen them play. They're playing Buffalo again this afternoon. Don't forget, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific for the Bills-Chiefs game today. And the Chiefs are 5.5-point favorites there. But as far as the Chiefs at the Broncos in that win over the Patriots, Drew Lock, 10 of 24 for 189, no touchdowns, the two picks I just mentioned, sacked twice. So if it wasn't for that last, those last couple of sequences of you know, those last drives, he would have had a pretty, you know, clean game, at least in terms of the turnovers, for sure, at the very least. But he had picks with 5:15 left in the game, up 18-9, which led to a field goal, as I mentioned. And then at 18-12, the next play from scrimmage with 3:14 left. And then the defense holds up with 58 seconds left. They finally stopped the Patriots. Good Lord. Lindsay, 23 for 101. Tim Patrick, 4 catches for 101. The other thing about that game, Chrissy, one other last note about Denver and New England, besides the ridiculous Lock picks, like what are the Broncos doing? You know how many penalties were called in that whole game? 3.
No.
3 penalties. New England had 1 penalty for 4 yards net in that game. It's just amazing. They really are just holding these flags in their pockets. And as I mentioned, the Broncos scored on their first 6 possessions, but all were field goals. All of that said, again, barring anything unforeseen tonight with the Chiefs, Chiefs have got to be 10-point favorites here, right?
I see it anywhere between 8.5 and 9.5. My numbers come to 8.5. You know, Gil, I was looking through some of my notes, and when the Broncos were 0-3, let me see, who did they lose to? They lost to the Titans, the Steelers, and the Bucks. So all pretty good teams.
Yeah.
And really, except for the Buccaneers, had really a pretty good showing against the other two. I had it in my notes. I said, watch out for this team. Not that they're any good, but kind of the way I thought about Cincinnati, a team that could be a live dog covering a lot of numbers. And I'm going to stick with that. Now, I don't want to go too far off the number here because Kansas City's always going to attract a lot of money. But like I said, I see anywhere from 8.5 to 9.5. I'm going to go in the middle with a 9. And even though Kansas City is probably still the best team in the league, they're certainly right up there. But I think Denver's going to be that kind of team. Look out for them covering some big numbers. And this is, you know, 9 certainly a big number, especially for a home team. And I'm not circling Kansas City yet, Denver yet. But I would keep an eye on them and watch for them from here on in. Like I said, much situation like Cincinnati. If you see them catching a big number, take a second look at them because I think they might be worth a play. And they might be worth a play in this spot too.
You know what my relationship with Drew Lock is? I think I underrated him to begin with criminally, and now I think I'm overrating him. I think that might be the case with him.
Well, here's another guy can use some good coaching, and I'm not sure he's getting that in Denver.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
That's going to hold them back.
And I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, on a day when we're talking about Romeo Crennel and Ron Rivera, I do not know what the Broncos were thinking in the last stretch of that game. Play to win. My goodness. We'll get to some more lines to guess. Week 7 in the National Football League. Whole bunch more to get to, including the primetime games as well.
Well, we're jumping ahead here to primetime.
Oh, okay.
And they're all over the place here, you know, so, you know. But we want to go in rotation order, am I correct?
Okay, sure. We can do it that way.
Okay. All right, the Sunday night game, Tampa Bay at Las Vegas.
All right, we talked about Tampa Bay. Big win for those of us who had Tampa Bay, but they got players back. They got Godwin back specifically. Tom Brady yesterday, 17 of 27 for 166. Didn't have to do much once the defense got them underway, as we talked about earlier. The one pick six, and then the other interception consecutive drives for the Packers. 4 plays is all it took to have the two interceptions. The next one was returned all the way to the 2-yard line, and a 10-0 Packers lead was immediately reversed into a 14-10 Buccaneers lead. 38 straight for the Bucs. They win it 38-10. Ronald Jones, the second, 23 for 113 with 2 touchdowns. Gronk, 5 for 78 and his first touchdown as a Buccaneer. Good for Gronk. Tampa Bay, no penalties for no yards. How about that? You don't see that very often. 0 penalties, 0 yards for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're talking about only 3 penalties were called in the New England Denver game, with New England getting one. Well, how about a clean sheet from the Buccaneers? And they're playing the Raiders. The Raiders will come off a week of rest. They have a bye week this week. We know that because Brent traveled all the way to Montana for the bye week. He's like, I'm taking the week off. Kind enough of Brent to do the Megapod, though. So it'll be Tampa Bay at the Raiders here at what is just, that's, listen, the year of 2020 and COVID. What a sad thing for Raiders fans who would have loved to have had Tom Brady to see at their brand new stadium. I'll say Tampa Bay, it's going to be more than 3. I'll say 3.5. Tampa Bay minus 3.5.
No, it's 3 with juice on the dog.
Wow. Yeah,
so 3 is, I'm going to open 3. My numbers,
respect,
you know,
for
it's
the Raiders.
Like 4.5. Yeah, my numbers are 4.5 with no home field. I think you got to give them a little home field here. So I think the 3 sounds fine. But yeah, a lot of respect for the Raiders. Like I said, there's we do everything flat at the South Point. So we'll open a 3 flat. They'll probably bet me the Raiders because I see it all 3 with juice on the dog.
Explain that to people who are tuning in for the first time, Chrissy. Explain what you mean by, because they're like, flat? What do you mean? It doesn't have half points? That's not what you mean.
No, we have half points. Yeah. We do have that. But we do everything at minus 110 or 11 to 10, however you want to phrase that. We don't use like 3 minus $1.20 or 7 minus $1.20 or, you know, any of that stuff. Everything is minus 110, you know, on the board for sides and totals. Now, first half, second halves, those, we do some finagle in there. But as far as like the games themselves, no. Everything is minus 110. Everything. Keep making it as simple as possible. And Michael Gaughan and Frank Todi, his longtime partner, have insisted on it. And the thing was, I don't resist it at all. And when I was at Calneva for 22 years, I did the exact same thing. You know, I mean, we use minus 110. That's what the number is. And, you know, I know there's probably places where it fits better, or I don't blame them for doing that. But for us, this is what we want to do because we want to bring in, you know, your everyday customer. And it's very, you know, it's not that complex. You know, a game might go from 3 to 3.5, but you are going to lay minus 110. That is a promise that we have here at the South Point.
Let's take a couple of tweets here. At Beating the Book, always appreciate the tweets. Adam Rosenberg, Vrabel is absolutely the best coach in the NFL. Remember how shrewd he was on that delay of game penalty last year against the Bats in the playoffs. Yeah, we discussed it this morning, Adam. I effing love this guy. This sort of thing isn't happening without analytics. Yeah, well, no, we went through the whole delay of game thing and how it's no longer permitted. Talking about Vrabel's intentional 12 men on the field yesterday, which is the lesser of the two things discussed from that game. The more discussed thing, obviously, being Romeo Crennel's decision to go for 2 up 7 late, 36-29. Bainbridge DeWeese has this to say about that. Mm-hmm. Similar to Chrissy's question last week about Russell Wilson, do the analytics take into account that Derrick Henry is on the other team? I think, this is Bainbridge talking, I think Romeo knew that if the Titans did get the touchdown, the 2-point would be much higher than 50-50. That's an interesting tweet. My response, and I'm curious what yours would be, Chrissy. My response is, I think we're giving Romeo too much credit with that.
You know, Bainbridge, I know we mentioned him last week on the show. It might have been 2 weeks ago. Had a pretty observant tweet in that regard, too. So that's a pretty good one. But I still think,
yeah.
Listen, you know, we're not ready to score the 2 yet. He's still got to go down and get a touchdown in the first place.
That's
so,
right.
You know, I'm still, yeah, it's, yeah, we aren't in the position. We're not automatically giving them 6 and then telling them to go for 2.
And Romeo would have said that because he was questioned on this after the game. And he said, no, I was just trying to put him away, basically, right? If you get it to 9, you know, yeah. Game, set, match. Yeah. He would have said on top of that at that moment, he would have said like, well, because I also thought that, you know, Derrick Henry, blah, 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 more than 50 on 2 points. But it is an interesting tweet, Bainbridge, and we thank you for bringing that up. All right, give me the matchup. We won't have time because we're going to go to break, but what are the matchups that are left?
Jaguars at the Chargers, Steelers at the Titans, Bears at the Rams on Monday night.
Ooh, those are a couple good ones at the end there. Including a battle of undefeateds between the Steelers and the Titans. All right, we'll guess those lines, and we'll talk about what we like. So far, I'm thinking Arizona. Let's see here. Arizona and San Francisco, I think I like the best. We'll review all of it. Chrissy will give what he likes.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Jason, I have a confession to make, and I know that everybody's been waiting for this confession from me. I love that Justin Bieber song on Saturday Night Live. I think I like Justin Bieber. But it's more Chance the Rapper, I think, that wrote that song. Holy, that he performed on Saturday Night Live, was awesome.
I'm going to have to find it.
Reminds me of Chance the Rapper's Sunday Candy. I'm telling you, man. Good song. Chrissy, what do you know about Justin Bieber? Anything? Nothing? Nothing at all?
I'm not sure you and I could be friends anymore, Gil. I'm sorry.
I thought that might have some impact. When you think of all the things that have gone on this last week, that would be the thing that would send it over.
That's the straw that broke the camel's back. Right there.
That's awesome. All right, three more games to get to. What you got? Oh, we all had a good laugh.
Yeah. Jaguars at the Chargers.
Jaguars are 1-5. Jaguars lose to the Lions, as we talked about, 34-16. Minshew, 25 of 44, 243, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked once. Keelan Cole, 6 catches for 143. Jaguars only had 44 rushing yards, only had the ball for 24-03. It's their worst start. And that's saying something with the Jaguars. 1-5 is the Jaguars' worst start since 2015. They've allowed 30-plus points in 5 straight games. Is that good? And they're playing the Chargers. Chargers coming off a bye. I'll say Chargers, who are 1-4 themselves, by the way, but we think of them quite differently because they probably should have beaten the Saints and they should have beaten the Buccaneers. I'll say Chargers -7. Am I low?
You are low. It's anywhere from 7.5 to 8.5. I'm going to be at the 8.5, you know, and I know the Chargers lost a couple close games, but Justin Herbert, I think, is just ready to explode. And I think Jacksonville is ready to sink like a rock, the way we kind of thought they were in the offseason. And we let that first game out of the blocks. We let that kind of change our opinion on them. The only reason we're not talking about them more is because of the Jets being as bad as they are. But I think Jacksonville is in a race to the bottom. They'll probably finish second to the Jets, but they're in a race to the bottom. And I think this Charger team, you know, I question their coaching at times, but not the talent. And I think this is the kind of game where they could just absolutely explode. And I think they will. Like I said, I see it anywhere from 7.5 to 8.5. I'm using the 8.5. I like the highest number possible.
Yeah. And you know what? You know how you often say I like your number better than this one? I like your better number than mine. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, I think I'm low. Because I think you're right. It should be more than 7. So 8.5 from Chrissy, Chargers versus Jacksonville. All right. Next.
Okay, good one. Maybe the best game of the week. Steelers at the Titans.
5-0 versus 5-0. Big Ben in the Steelers' rout of the Browns yesterday. 14 of 22 for 162, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. James Conner, 20 carries, 101, and a touchdown. Claypool, 4 for 74, also carried one in the end zone on the ground. James Washington, 4 for 68, a touchdown. Bad news for the Steelers, though, with Devin Bush. Their standout linebacker, feared to have a significant knee injury. We will get the official update here today. And as far as Tennessee, we talked about it ad nauseum. Not only the Romeo Crennel decision to go for 2 up 36-29, but prior to that, Mike Vrabel with an intentional 12 men on the field to basically save his team 40 seconds. So fourth and goal at the 1, and then fourth and goal at the 1, again, we talked about it. Houston decides to go for it. That was the proper move with 1:53 left. Watson to Cook's touchdown, but then they failed to get the 2-point conversion. 11-play, 76-yard, 1 minute, 41-second drive for the Titans that ended with Tannehill to Brown, 7-yard score. They win the coin flip in overtime, because of course they do. And then on the second play, Tannehill to Henry, 53 yards, 4 plays later, Henry crashes in from the 5. Ball game, 42-36. Fourth win this season by the Titans, Chrissy, by 6 points or fewer. They're living right. Tannehill, 30 of 41 for 364, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, 2 sacks. Henry, 22 for 212 and 2 touchdowns, and then 2 catches for 52. Included in that 212 yards rushing, a 94-yard signature Derrick Henry touchdown scamper with 9:37 left in the fourth quarter to put Tennessee up 27-23 in what was a topsy-turvy fourth quarter. Anthony Firkser, 8 catches for 113 and a touchdown. 601 total yards of offense for the Titans. It's a franchise record, including 263 on the ground. You know, Houston had 412, and they got outgained by almost 200 yards. It's the second 5-0 start in franchise history for the Titans. 2008 was the last time. They also may have some bad news. We have that tweet, Jason Dewey. Taylor Lewan, their standout left tackle, he could have a major, major injury as well. Here it is from Chris Mortensen, the Mort Report. Titans starting left tackle Taylor Lewan will have an MRI on Monday morning to determine if he indeed suffered a torn ACL that team physicians diagnosed early in the Titans-Texans game, as Jay Glazer reported earlier this evening. This is from Mort yesterday. So wins for both the Steelers and the Titans, but both teams might have lost somebody key. I'll tell you, I don't know how you... I never have guessed pick'ems this year, but this is kind of a pick'em to me. I'll say pick'em.
Well, I like your number better. I see it. I see the Pittsburgh. I see Pittsburgh favored anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5. I got to tell you, my numbers come to pick'em myself, and I'm sure I'll hear from the black and gold out there. You know, all their fans tell me. Yeah, the power of negative thinking, Chris. Thanks a lot. You know, but I think this game's a real legitimate pick. That's a big injury though at left tackle for the Titans, because you know they're gonna have to pressure Tannehill, and they're gonna have to obviously stop the run with Derrick Henry. By the way, I made a little note here for guys. Some of you young guys out there might not remember Eric Dickerson, kind of a forgotten running back, but a guy who had 2,000 yards 1 year, a Hall of Fame running back. Derrick Henry reminds me a little bit of Eric Dickerson. So if you want to get some film clips of Eric Dickerson, go take a look at him. I'm not ready to put Henry above Dickerson yet, but it's kind of that style of a running back. And both are terrific. But this to me is a pick'em game. So I'm going to open 1.5 just because I see it as high as 2.5 out there. So I'm going to open 1.5, and they'll probably bet me the Steelers. And listen, come Sunday morning, I'm sure I'll be rooting for the Steelers. But money-wise, I think this game should be a pick.
I hope people haven't forgotten about Eric Dickerson. But you know what? That's a great comparison. Derrick Henry is a bigger version of Dickerson in the sense that they both ran upright, right? They both ran up tall and have a surprisingly unbelievable north-south speed. Not guys who go in different directions quickly, but when they get out in the field, and you're like, oh, well, this guy will get caught. And it was amazing how they would never get caught, both of these guys. You're like, how is Derrick Henry going to get to the house at that size? It was the same with Dickerson, except for that time that Darryl Green ran him down, but he ran down everybody. All right, one more. What do you got?
Bears at the Rams.
Bears at the Rams. 5-1 versus 4-2. The Bears are 5-1. Paper tiger, I guess, but man, they're still 5-1. Foles yesterday in the win against the Panthers, 23 of 39 for 198, 1 touchdown, a pick, sacked 0 times. Only 261 total yards of offense for the Bears. 10 penalties for 92 yards. They got to clean that up, but they were +2 in turnovers. And at 5-1, that's the best start for the Chicago Bears since 2012. Brent Musburger said it on our podcast on the Megapod the other day. He was like, because a couple of us had the Panthers. He was like, beware of that Bears defense. And he did it in that Brent voice, so it had much more gravitas than it otherwise would have. The Rams yesterday lose, as we mentioned, to the Niners. Goff, 19 of 38 for 198, 2 touchdowns, a pick, sacked 0 times. But again, when they were down 21-9, they were knocking at the door, and then he threw that pick on 4th down, and that was kind of it for the Rams. That was their most credible chance in that ball game yesterday. I will say the Rams will be favored here, though, for all the reasons we've stated about the Bears time and time again, how so many of those wins could have just as easily been losses, though not yesterday. So I'll say the Rams, and I'll make it as high as 6. How about that?
It's 5.5 and 6. It's a little more 5.5. I like the 5.5 a little better. The total here we're looking at is 46, which a decade ago would have been a high total. Now it's one of the lowest totals on the board for the for Sunday's games. I'm trying to think. I think it's the second lowest total. So I think that this should be a pretty close game. So I'm going to stick with the 5.5 here. But I, you know, what Brent says is true. That Bear defense is really, really good. Now, the Rams, I know you've talked a couple times about that interception in the end zone. That kid for San Francisco, I forget his name. I know he's bounced around a little bit. He made an unbelievable play. That was a great interception. So, I mean, I'm the one to not fault Goff because he should have read the defense a little bit better. But that kid made a fantastic play. But it was fourth down. I mean, Goff had to throw the ball in the end zone. I mean, you know, no sense in you know, throwing it away or anything else. And he didn't have a safe place to go. But I think the Rams still look pretty good. I think they do. But I like the lower number here just because I think it's going to be a fairly low-scoring game.
Yeah, I think you're talking about Jason Verrett, also the Niners. That's who it was, Jason Verrett.
Yeah, Jason Verrett. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, that's okay. So what I like best in the end is I think I like San Francisco at New England. What was your number there again?
3.
3. Yeah, I think I like
but it's higher. I think it's 3.5. Yeah.
Yeah, if you give me the hook, I like San Francisco. I think I like Arizona against Seattle. And you know what, Chrissy? If Buffalo's only 10 against the Jets, I may lay the 10. How about you?
Well, it's 11 at my place, I can tell you that. I like Carolina getting over 7. I like San Francisco. And we're going head-to-head. I like Seattle over Arizona.
Ooh, oppo. Well, that's why we do this.
Yeah.
Chrissy, thank you as always. Gambling. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Chris,
my pleasure.
Chris Andrews, everybody, at Andrews Sports. Thanks for listening. Good luck with all your bets. Enjoy the doubleheader in football tonight from all of us at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.